I will cry my eyes out, but I will know at the core that the best thing for me and the best thing for us as a family is to put down some roots, and it feels absolutely right in every single way.
Family man, yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Scott.
All I have today.
That's all I got. Well, we were just talking just a few minutes before this, and so I know it's been hard. So what's the deal? We didn't really talk about it. I really don't like a lot of chit-chat before the show because I want it to feel raw and it's real raw, when man. We get on the show. So you got 5 days. You're tearing into the basement.
Yeah.
We had a suggestion that we set up a live webcam there so we can see you in action as you're putting it back together. What do you think?
I might.
Like the Yable goat.
A live webcam. That seems a little too invasive. I don't know. I'll have to blur out too much.
We could do it. We could do it.
I could do a few video clips. Maybe we'll see.
That'd be fun. Okay. Yeah.
It's going. It, you know, as these things tend to do, they're a little chaotic at the moment. I've been siphoning oil out of my old oil tank, and I cut through the pipe yesterday to do that, so that was kind of fun.
Is that like an old oil tank that sits inside or outside? Or
inside? It's in our basement, so we have to get it out if at all possible before these guys show up. And
oh yeah, wow,
it's one of those things I've meant to do for years and never got around to, but now I think we might have a solution to getting rid of it. So I've been siphoning oil out of it yesterday. And
how much oil is in it?
Probably about 100 gallons.
Really? Is there a market for that kind of oil? Can you sell that oil?
If it hasn't been sitting there for as long as it has, but apparently it's useless.
It sits
now.
In the ground for hundreds of years.
Yeah, that's kind of what I feel like, but
that's what my dad would say. Well, I probably shouldn't say that. He'd say, well, then put it back in the ground.
Yeah. That's
okay, go ahead. But you're not going to do that because you're here for the environment.
Yeah, I'm doing it right.
But you have a solution now? Because they're big. The tanks aren't. I mean, can you get it up the stairs?
Well, I can't, but the Junk King people might be able to. They say can. They still may have to cut it up into pieces, which I'm happy to let them do that if they want to. I was going to do that myself, but cooler heads prevailed. And by cooler heads, I mean my wife.
What are you thinking?
Yeah. So anyway.
Did she use the words, hey, stupid? A lot.
I think she might have thought them, but she's too kind for that. It's the house is a disaster, and we still have. I keep looking at the basement, and I'm like, you know that when people say, "How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time?"
Right, right.
I have to keep reminding myself of that on this project because all I see is a big fat elephant, and I'm like, I'm not eating that thing.
It's charging you.
Yes.
Right,
but we are getting there. I'm the type of person who I'll avoid a project as long as possible, and then when it's finally time to do it, I'm like, okay, let's get this thing done because I don't want to stop in the middle and have it languish for years. I want this thing complete. So I'm in the middle of it now.
Quality. Yeah. I'm a languisher.
Yeah. The fun part about this is once they get done destroying my basement and rebuilding the foundation more or less. Then I still have an empty basement
that you have to fix.
Yeah, then I get to do the real work after that. So,
yep. That's a good plug for Family Man Fix It or Finish It February. You'll probably get a couple years all in a row for doing that.
Yeah, if I'm still alive by the end.
So, do they have to take the basement walls out? I'm like, will you be able to see the outside when they're working at any time?
No. One or two of the people that we talked to about doing an estimate on what our basement needed. Some of them wanted to dig down outside around the foundation and work on it from the outside. But this guy's plan was to work on it from the inside and basically put steel beams around the walls to brace the walls and mm-hmm. do a whole new drainage system on the inside. Mm. So he said it's not bad enough that they need to
rebuild
all the
anything.
Other stuff. Yeah. So
still sounds,
and they're huge. They're going to seal it from the inside too. First, I guess, with like this big plastic sealant stuff. Yeah. Anyway, it's a long, fun process that no one should have to go through.
Yep. And as we were just talking, sometimes that can cause some tension between in marital bliss.
Yeah. My wife wanted to talk to me about part of this the other night, and it was approaching midnight. I was already exhausted, and those conversations never go well.
Yeah.
And I may or may not have sarcastically mentioned something.
You do not want anything on here that's incriminating, Scott.
Just a joke.
If they can trace back to you,
just a joke.
You know, when you run for office someday.
See, that's the problem, is that if I say anything on here that might incriminate me, it's more likely to add to my insanity defense than hurt me for any sort of future endeavor.
We saw it coming, Your Honor. We saw it coming.
Anyway.
Yeah. You know they're all going to side with your wife when this is over. We don't blame you. We would have left them too. Yeah. That's what I always told my brother Drew. Drew, if your wife ever leaves you, we're on her side. So,
I also discovered that with one of my kids this week, that my love language being, well, one of my love languages being sarcasm, doesn't really go over too well with everybody in my life.
So, you know, that's a hard lesson. That's a hard lesson, because I would be that way. In fact, I think I wrote about it in a weekly email. I don't know.
I think
a couple
you
months
did.
Ago,
yes.
But I could tend to do that, you know, and that's hard. I do it, not like, what are you, stupid? Not that kind of,
right?
But you know, like, oh, that's a great idea, you know, and it's kind of down putting. And what I found is that, you know, I start getting into that, and to certain people, like you said, some people, you know, I have certain children who kind of like that. You know, and you can kind of go back and forth, and you're both laughing. But other kids, they take it serious, and then it feels like dad's always that way. You know, he's always, and then they view your non-sarcastic comments as sarcastic, and that's hard to break. But I've been working on it. I don't know if I'm making any progress, but I hope I am.
Story of my life, right there. That's a story of my life, right there. I hope I'm making progress, but I don't know if I am.
Yeah, maybe we should make that into a shirt.
Yep.
I don't know. It's just part of being a dad. It's hard being a dad. You know that? I've got a kid right now who, I mean, he's just a lot of testosterone and hormones, and it just comes blurting out. And it's like, you know, he said last night, you just want me to be perfect 100% of the time. And I'm like, I don't even care. I'm not going for 100% of the time, you know. In my head, I'm going, I'd shoot for 3% of the time, you know. You know, but and we just keep going back, and like, I know. And he wants to control it, but it comes out, and then his siblings, you know, they see it and they kind of ignore him, you know, or don't want him around because that makes it hard. And he's hurt by that, and it's just hard. It's hard being a parent. I don't know if it gets any easier once they leave, you know. But you still are working on it. You still have a relationship that needs mending and things you have to work through, and it's just non-relenting or unrelenting. Maybe that's a better way to say it.
Do you ever have problems where like your kids are just mad or not kind of like one or two of them, well, it would take at least two, where they don't like each other, or one of them doesn't like another one, and there's like as the adults, it's easy to be like, well, I kind of have some feelings of dislike toward a child right now, but I can, I need to work on that. Yeah. Right.
Right.
And it's, you understand as the adult that that's not okay. You need to work on it when they're, 12 or 13 or whatever. And they're like, they just can't stand their sister or whatever at this point, it's hard to make them see the maturity of, as a Christian and as a loving brother or sister or whatever, we shouldn't,
That is hard. And it's the kind of thing that hurts a parent's heart too.
Yeah.
I mean, cause you want them to, my mom used to say to me, she'd say, just love your brother, Todd, love your brother, And I know what she wanted me. She wanted me to love them like she wanted me to love them, mm-hmm. She wanted me to do the things that looked loving. And I would say, I did love him. Why do you keep saying that? And I just wonder if sometimes if they would, maybe they wouldn't even say it, but maybe they feel it deep down. Because, I've got some of those kids who bug each other and they're harsh to each other and they will say mean things to each other. But I just kind of run under the assumption that they love each other and I treat them like they love each other, And when they were little, you could control that easier and you'd say, hey, you're not allowed to talk to your brother that way. And I'll still say those things. You can't talk to your brother that way. You can't talk to your sister that way. She needs you to be kind. And I will probably have one of those conversations. I would say maybe even this day that I will say, hey, when you say these things, it really hurts his feelings. He looks up to you, as the big brother. And then you're just mean to him, and I know what will happen. The brother will say, well, that's not fair because, he just thinks he's this. And I'll say, no, and even some of my older kids, I think some of their younger brothers or sisters think that they don't like him. And even though they function together and they laugh together, and I've said, again, as the older, they need you to be a little more gracious. And I try to understand, and my wife reminds me that, even a 20-year-old kid or a 14-year-old kid is not like a 50-year-old guy.
Right.
Who now knows those things. And I just want my kids to keep talking because I do know some families whose brothers and sisters never talk to each other because they just say, I don't like them. They don't like me. We're good. Yeah. And that's not acceptable to me as the patriarch. And I am the patriarch. I'm the dad. I'm the guy who holds all this together until I'm gone, So, yeah, that's hard. But I think probably everybody deals with it. And some personalities kind of rub each other the wrong way. Mm-hmm. The personalities who are like each other.
Yes.
So I don't know.
We try to cast a vision for our kids of like, look, you're going to know your siblings the rest of your life. And the same goes with cousins. It's like, these are people you're going to know, when you're 80.
Yeah.
So like you might want to make sure you still maintain this relationship. And we try to foster that. I don't know how much of that sinks in. I've heard them say that though. So maybe a little bit of it, but, and they seem to do pretty well getting along, but it's funny when they're, my one son just went back to college yesterday and it's like, while he was home, there were times where, he's 20 now. And I'm like, him and his brother, I'm like, boys,
you can't
kill each other. Let's take it easy,
Yeah. And I think really, even as our kids get older, maybe when they're 50, maybe as the dad, we'll have to say, hey guys, I don't know what happened, but we got to get this right. And then as a dad, we kind of lead in that. Just because I think it's our role even later.
I can see either one of us as like Burgess Meredith and Grumpy Old Men.
Yeah.
The dad of the two guys who are like in their 70s anyway, and he's like 90 something or whatever.
Like Burgess Meredith, is he the,
yeah.
The penguin.
Yeah. And he was the coach in Rocky.
Oh yeah.
But he's the dad in Grumpy Old Men. He's the dad of Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon. And at one point he scolds them for something for not getting along or whatever. It's like, they're like 80 years old themselves. But anyway.
So, what else is there to talk about in the dad department, Scott? Got anything up your sleeves?
That's enough, isn't it?
I don't know. Hey, oh, this was exciting. This is in the news. I'm going to look this up. Jim Terpstra, after listening last week, and I talked to Jim, email back and forth for years, a good family man. And after talking about bumper pool last week, he sent me a picture of his bumper pool table, which is different than my bumper pool table. His is better. Bumper pool people bond over their tables. So he sent me a great article that was kind of an announcement, came out on January the 4th by James Corden. Do you know who James Corden is?
Isn't he one of those late night guys?
He is a late night guy. The Late Late Show host James Corden already announced in April that he's leaving the show. But during a recent conversation with actress Drew Barrymore from E.T., they didn't say that, The father explained his reasoning. He says the 44-year-old comedian said that while he's sad to go, ultimately, his decision came down to an interaction he had with his son, Max. At the time, Corden was shooting the Amazon Prime video series Mammals and had to go to work on Sunday. Max's reaction to his dad being away caused the host to rethink his priorities. I was filming on Sunday and I came downstairs. It was about 6 a.m. and my son, who was 10 at the time, was sitting on the chair and said, "Are you working today?" And I said, "I am." Max said, "I thought, well, it's Sunday." And I said, "I know, buddy, but this schedule is just all over the place. We just got to get it done because we only have a tiny amount of time before we have to go back and do the show." And his face just kind of dropped, he continued. I got in the car and I called my wife, Jules, and said, "I've realized best case scenario, we have 6 more summers where Max is like even remotely wants to be around us. And I cannot waste another one," Corden said. "So really the choice was to go, well, if I really want to do this other work, that cannot be at the expense of our children, our family. And that is really all it comes down to." Corden says, "You know, I'm disappointed by leaving the show." He says, "It's not easy to walk away from something that is so, I mean, I'll never work in a better environment and than the one I work in now," he said. And then he goes on, "Nothing about leaving the show was to do with not enjoying it. I love it. But the truth is, it became a very easy decision because I always knew it was an adventure. I never, ever considered it to be the final destination. I will be a mess on the last show," he says. "I will cry my eyes out, but I will know at the core that the best thing for me and the best thing for us as a family is to put down some roots, and it feels absolutely right in every single way." And, you know, that goes a long way with me in the dad department, you know.
Well done, man.
I mean, really, because it's not like, you know, for me to like decide, well, I'm not going to work in my desk today. I'm going to go out and play basketball. I mean, he's giving up all the accolades that come along with being kind of at the peak of your game. And, you know, that was encouraging to me. Dad, I hope it's encouraging to you because maybe you're in the same place. Maybe you're at the peak of your game. Maybe you're really, you know, making a lot of money and people are patting you on the back and you can kind of see the way the ladder is going to go and how you're going to end up at the top. But maybe you have this gnawing feeling that you're running out of time with your kids and with your family. I don't know anything about this guy. I don't know if he's a believer, you know, I don't know any of that, but he's wise. And you would be wise, too, to make some changes if you feel like you should be making those changes. And again, I'm not necessarily charging everybody to quit their job, but for the dads who come up to me and say, you know, "I feel like I should," I'm always like, "You should. Then you should." So, Dad, if you're feeling that, I would do it because you're going to run out of time. I was going to kind of close on this. We had a guy in our church. His name is Rod. And Rod, I've known Rod for a really long time. In fact, when I first became a pastor, Rod was probably one of the first people I met. He was at the church I was attending. He had this curly hair. I can see him with a baseball cap perched on top. You know, when you have curly hair, like really kinky curly hair, you can't really push a baseball cap down onto it. It just sits on top of the fluff. And Rod was involved in everything. He was the choir guy. He was, you know, worked with the kids. He played t-ball or softball. He was, I think, the church janitor. And then he got a position at the church that I now attend as a music/associate youth. I don't know what his real position was. But, you know, we had lots of time talking and interacting. And then Rod got caught up in images on online, and it came out. The church, he stepped away from his position, but being a huge man of integrity, he and his family stayed in that church, and they're still there. And it's amazing to me. I always admired that, you know, because the easy thing to do is just kind of step away and start fresh where no one knows you. But he surrounded himself with people who everyone knew him and what he had done. And a few years ago, he got cancer. And just a few days on January the 8th, he died. Then it was on Sunday, they announced in church that they'd called hospice in. And then that afternoon, they said he had gone on to heaven. And, you know, I thought about Rod a lot because I know he was probably, I would guess, like 7 or 8 years older than I was. And his daughter played her violin in church that morning, and she's probably 35 during the worship time. And it's always sobering to me when anyone, it doesn't matter even if they're old, when they are here one day and then they're gone. And that James Corden kind of realizes it, that he doesn't have limitless time. And even though we have limitless time, we're going to be in heaven forever and ever and ever. You know, the time that we have here to deal with these bad attitude kids and, you know, stinking projects on our basement is so short. And, you know, in my calendar, you did a daily calendar. It started off, I think the first was, you know, Dad, this might be your last year. And that's, you know, we always say that we tend to think that, or somebody says that and we go, yeah, it's true. It might be our last year. But really, for some of the dads listening right now, it might be our last year. And that is an interesting thought. And so again, Dad, I don't want you to think that you could possibly live the rest of your life with that thought in your head, because I can't do it. But maybe you could make some decisions today based on that time, that idea that you're running out of time. You know, maybe you've been just saying to your family, we need to go away for the weekend. You've been talking about it for years, you know, and here you are in the doldrums of winter. The holidays are past. And even now, your wife and I, you've been talking about it and you keep talking about it, but you never do it. I'm telling you, do it just so that you will have done it, you know. Or maybe you've been talking about having another child, you know, just do it. Or maybe you have a son or a daughter who just needs some extra attention. Just do it. Because again, one of these days, and you'll be in the church announcements and they're going to say, well, they brought in hospice and he's out of time. So well done, James Corden. I don't know anything about you, but you're high on my list of Hollywood greats for anybody who would forgo fame and take family over that. So anyway, Scott, next time we talk to you, we will be on the other side of you waiting to start your basement.
Yeah.
We'll maybe have like a inside report on how it's going. Does it take a long time?
It's going to take about 10 days, I think they said. So wow. Next week I'll be at an undisclosed location.
That's right. We'll see. Bunker.
Yes.
In Cincinnati. Okay. So we'll hear about that. Be praying for Scott. If you live in the Cincinnati area and you need to lend a hand, reach out to Scott and say, hey, I've got hands, I can help. But Dad, thanks for being on the team. You know, I know you're facing all the things that we're facing and glad to do it. And pray for Rod's family. I know they're having a viewing or calling or whatever you call it, you know, wherever you live, on Friday, and funeral's on Saturday. And then love your family as though maybe it'll be you next. And have a great weekend. Do something daddish. Do it because you did dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week. Stand up, you may think it's odd to think the way I am, but it's a godly thing to be a family man.
So, yeah, that's, yeah, the
grumpy old man.
Penguin guy. Yeah, he was Rocky's.
Yes.
Get in there, Rocky. Whatever he said. Probably kid. He said kid a lot, I think.
He'll not get it tomorrow, Rock.
Exactly.
That's when he wanted to fight Mr. T.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And Rocky III.
He didn't want him to.
Yep.
He'll tell you a pot.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good shows. Good times.
Indeed.